It's an unfortunate part of 21st century life. Twisted people still use bombs to try and achieve their ends. Fortunately, the FBI has Kirk Yeager, chief explosive scientist. He's the go-to guy for law enforcement in the United States and for many foreign allies. For his work in national security and counterterrorism, he's also a finalist in this year's Service to America Medals program, and he joins me now. Mr. Yeager, great to have you on.
Thank you very much, sir. Great to be here.
All right, so what does the chief explosive scientist actually do at the FBI? I imagine you blow up things, but it sounds like more than that.
Yes, part of my job is to manufacture things and to blow them up and to study them. I basically represent the FBI in all matters involving explosives. So whether that's research, whether that's assisting in forensics, whether that's policy, I'm the chief voice for all matters of science and technology as they relate to explosives and bombing investigations.
Now, many years ago, the military kept a database of called weapons effects, where they would understand the nature of different types of explosives. Is there something similar at the FBI so that you have an idea of what you can expect something to do based on, say, the materials it's made out of and how big it is?
We have a variety of tools that would serve in a similar capacity. We take advantage of military tools like the one that you just mentioned as well. We get involved in developing particular databases. Some of my research from the 90s was actually recently made into a database to be utilized by the community to do just that, to look at the power of certain types of explosives and to help people who are, in this case, the program that we developed, designing buildings to try to get a better idea of protective measures that they have to take.
Now, sometimes your work has involved reconstruction of events, and I think probably the most famous one of recent memory might be the Boston Marathon bombing. How were you able to, I guess, reverse engineer what happened there?
Well, in a case like Boston, there's a huge number of people that get involved. There was a lead examiner and a whole team of people who did the forensics on that, and I worked in concert with this team in the FBI laboratory to basically put the pieces back together. And we have an analogy for putting a bomb back together. It's kind of like taking a jigsaw puzzle, opening the box, taking out half the pieces, throwing them away, lighting the other pieces on fire, and beating them out with a tire iron, and then trying to put it together and figure out what the picture was. In many ways, that's what a bombing investigation is. You have mangled, burnt, destroyed fractions of a bomb, and you're trying to put together a story based on what you see. And sometimes you're missing pieces of the story. Sometimes you get lucky, and you can put together a pretty coherent picture. And that's what we do day-to-day in the FBI, is we take devices post-blast and try to figure out what they were and how they functioned.
Now, of course, that made a lot of news, as did the near Times Square bombing a few years earlier, and a couple of years before that, the underwear bomber on the flight. How often are you involved with things that have actually blown up versus discovered explosives that did not explode?
Luckily, these days, we get more involved with interdiction and finding things before they happened. I couldn't tell you what percentage of times, but there are a lot of times we've disrupted plots, and there's more of those cases than things blowing up. Luckily and very happily.
And what do you do with something that is discovered that has been unexploded after you arrest the perpetrator? I imagine there's a lot to be learned from what they were attempting to do.
Yes, depending on the device. If we have a full-up device, if we have components, then what we try to do is figure out what they were going to build. And then when we go to court, we have to replicate it to try to educate the jury and educate the court system what they were trying to do, what effect it may have had, how dangerous, how deadly the bomb may have been. And so we will put things back together. Then we try to figure out, all right, we have all these components. We have plans to make a particular device. Where did the ideas to produce this device came from? So we try to understand, you know, where training may have come from, where ideas may have generated from, to get a global picture of things that we may see in the future as well.
We're speaking with Kirk Yeager, the chief explosive scientist at the FBI. He's also a finalist in this year's SAMMES program. And that gets to another issue, which is the dissemination of knowledge about bombs and bomb making brought on by the internet, plus the desire of terrorists, which seem to be a growing population. That must be the biggest issue, I would think, is the widespreadness of this problem.
Information and knowledge are power. There's no two ways about that. And unfortunately, the internet has created a huge knowledge base of explosives and bomb-making recipes, formulations. It does good, it does bad. And unfortunately, the bad side of the internet is all the knowledge that's out there. And quite frankly, it's not just specialized areas such as bomb-making websites, but it's places such as Facebook and YouTube and other social media where this information gets disseminated to a wider audience. It has made the job more challenging. The information is so readily available, and we see lots of people going out there and replicating it. And frankly, it's not just terrorists you have to be concerned about. It's some unsuspecting kid who's following a recipe because no idea the danger it's going to cause, and all of a sudden the bomb squad that shows up after something unfortunate's happened, and we have to clean up the mess. And so it's part of the job, and this knowledge that's out there enables the bad guys, but it also enables a whole cadre of other people who are out there experimenting with explosives that endanger public safety, quite frankly.
I imagine that must be some of the tougher situations when someone who's maybe not an international terrorist, but just misguided person ends up blowing themselves or their surroundings up, and then you've got to figure out what happened.
Yes, I get involved with that kind of scenario a great deal. Bomb squads will call because I've done a lot of research with improvised, or what we call terrorist explosives, the kind of things that you can make from common chemicals. And so when they're into a scene and they're trying to figure out what could have been made, I get calls where they say, we're seeing these chemicals, we had this event occur, what do you think happened? And I work with them in that capacity to safely deal with the situation, to clean it up so that, you know, life can go on, basically.
How did you get into this work?
I kind of fell into this work almost with serendipity. I got my graduate degree from Cornell, and I was looking for a postdoc position, and there was one in New Mexico that dealt with energetic materials. And quite frankly, I spent about 7 years of my life in Ithaca, New York, and I got tired of winters that were 6 months long. And so the desert sounded appealing, and also the ability to go into the field of explosives sounded fascinating, and I got lucky. Some of my earlier work there was with the Federal Aviation Administration. At that time, was looking at a variety of explosives. They were worried about slipping through their detection nets, and I started making those and studying them. And before I know it, I had more and more people coming to me to do research for them. And eventually, after 6 years of making terrorist explosives, the FBI took an interest in me and made me a job offer, and I've been working here ever since.
How much interaction is there with the military? I guess they've been dealing with IEDs and improvised devices for some time now. And so outside of official ordnance, they've got a big bomb issue also.
Oh, yes. The military has a huge issue, and that's developed over the last 10, 15 years. We have very close working relationships with the military. In fact, our TDAC Center, Terrorist Explosive Devices Analytical Center, was stood up to deal with all these devices that were being found in Iraq and Afghanistan and doing forensic exploitation of them. So over the last decade, there have been very, very close partnerships between the FBI and the military, born out of this necessity to find these bombers, to break up their cells, and to try to bring to justice the people who perpetrated the acts.
And do you keep pictures of, say, Ted Kaczynski or the underwear bomber tacked up on your bulletin board for inspiration?
No, I don't give them any bulletin board space. I basically, for inspiration, keep mementos given to me by bomb squads and bomb techs who I've helped over the years. It's a more positive association.
Kirk Yeager is chief explosive scientist at the FBI and a finalist in this year's SAMMY's program. Thanks so much for joining me.
It's been great. Thank you very much.
Read more and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.